already begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes. All of them inviting you to...
Come on, Jim, out with it. You didn't invite me down here to your farm for nothing. Ooh. Come on now, what's in the air? Apart from the,
Don't worry about the smell, Bentley. That's old silage.
Well, it's time you pensioned him off. I mean, this is
The fact is, I wired you to come down here to the farm because I want you to be the first to know the good news, Bentley. Old friend and confederate, I'm about to commit matrimony.
Oh, Jim, at last. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I'd almost given you up.
It's simply that although I have met a lot of girls and had a lot of fun...
Yes?
Well, it wasn't until I met Henrietta that I felt for the first time, this is the real thing.
The real thing?
Money, yeah. Bentley, she's got £500,000.
You're kidding.
She told me herself, and it's all as good as mine. Oh, I'm so happy. Here, Bentley, look at this photo.
Show me.
Good heavens. I admit that she looked a little bit repulsive on the surface, but look at the photo again, and this time, bear in mind she's got £500,000 worth of negotiable sterling. Now, keep that thought uppermost. £500,000. Now, what do you think?
It's not enough. Heaven's sake, Jim, there are limits. Where on earth did you meet this... what you met?
What a nice thing to say. I met her after the circus at the fun fair, in the Hall of Distorting Mirrors. Funny thing was that in there she looked quite normal. I prodded her playfully with the end of my shooting stick, you know.
Yes.
It alarmed her for a moment, but she turned round. For one magic moment, our eyes met, and it was then that I knew.
Knew what?
She was the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, cut the story short. We got talking and I learned about her vital statistics.
Eh?
£500,000 I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
Well, after that, of course, I switched on the old Edwards charm, you know. Bentley, she fell for me like a ton of bricks.
Jimmy, she looks like a ton of bricks.
Ugliness is only skin deep. In her case, about 2 inches. And with £500,000, I can afford a permanent supply of dark glasses.
Huh?
Oh, where's the phone? Excuse me. Hello? Oh, it's you, Henrietta. Hello, my turtle dove.
Why not just make it turtle?
Shh. From where are you speaking, sweetheart? From the bank. Oh, paying in or drawing out? Oh, pain in, how romantic. Look, Poopsie, Sweetsie, why don't you come over for dinner tonight, darling Parling? The address is Home Farm. Yes, just one of the smaller farms on my enormous estate here. Oh, I'm pigging it here while the manor house is being re-gilded. Shall we say 8 o'clock, darling sweetie pie? Ah, grand. Mwah. Till then, be still, my panting heart. Revolting, isn't it?
The way you said it, yes. But just a minute. What was that bit about enormous estate and the manor house?
Well, Bendis, it's a well-known axiom that money marries money. If she thought that all I got in the world is this agricultural devil's island, well, I wouldn't stand a chance.
Oh, so you've given her the impression that you're filthy rich?
Well, not exactly filthy, just slightly grimy.
Well, I'm sorry, it sickens me. The whole thing just sickens me.
Well, it does. Well, very well, you taking this self-righteous attitude, Bentley. I need that money to build up the farm. It's different for you. You've got everything you want from life.
Oh, what a stupid statement. Artistically, a true artist is always unfulfilled. You see, you think of me as a comedian, but I'm not really a comedian.
What are you waiting for, an argument or something?
I mean, I'm an actor. Actor.
Actor.
And there is one thing that every actor hankers after.
Oh, yes, none of us are made of wood, Bentley.
No. That's all right, but that wasn't my thought. Not just then. What I mean is, every actor spends his life seeking the chance to play the theater's greatest role, Hamlet.
What? You want to play Hamlet?
I'd give my ears to portray the Great Dane.
Yes, and you've got the ears for a Great Dane, isn't it? I tell you what, Bentley, stay here And help me impress Henrietta, and you might get your wish.
Impress her?
Yes, make her think that I'm as rich as she is. What you do is, while you're serving the soup, just casually mention that I'm the sort of...
Wait a minute. Wine, lime, what?
Serving the soup? You see, you're going to be my butler.
Oh, I'm not, you know. Oh, no, I'm not.
Bentley, there's £500,000 involved in this, you know.
I'm not having any part of it.
For a very small slice of £500,000, it's possible to put on in the West End a play called, shall we say, Hamlet? Starring that well-known Shakespearean entertainer, Richard Makepeace Bentley? Well, Bentley, how about it?
If you'll excuse me, sir, I'll decant the port.
Well, I must say the table looks very nice, Bentley, and you look most impressive. That frock coat is really most dignified.
Yeah, bit of luck the station master was my size.
Hey, master.
Oh, it's that blasted farmhand of mine. Albert! I told you to keep out of the way. Fellow, we'll take liberties just because he's been in the family for years.
Has he?
Well, he's my brother, you see. What is it, Albert?
Is you expecting 100-weight sack of taters?
No, I wasn't.
In that case, your lady friend's here.
Oh, what? Oh. Well, I... Well, Henrietta, my dearest.
James!
Oh, my dear, how devastated you look. Oh, we'll eat as soon as it's ready.
Excuse me, sir. Dinner is...
Don't look at her, you fool. I'm not...
Served.
James, who's this man in the British Railway coat?
Oh, well, he's Willoughby, my butler and Major Demo. Willoughby, how would you like to meet this dear lady?
Blindfolded.
La, blindfolded, isn't he droll? I'll bring him to here. Willoughby, bend down and tie a knot in my shoelace, please.
Me? That'll be the day.
Willoughby, to be a knot, to be...
A granny knot, sir?
Thank you. Now, Willoughby, pray escort us to the table.
Certainly, sir. Will my lady be seated?
Thank you.
Sir, would you sit...
Two chairs.
Thank you. Sir, will you sit this side, facing my lady?
Oh, no, Willoughby, I think I'll sit on the other side, facing the damp patch on the wall.
Hey, Jim, what is it? For heaven's sake, propose and get this sordid business over.
Well, I'll get at it right away. Henrietta.
Yes?
Why don't we end it all and get married?
Oh, yes, James, yes.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, Willoughby. You may go and order your black tights now.
At last, to be or not to be.
Well, let's celebrate this. Come along, Albert. Go and get a bottle of champagne.
Champagne? Now, who's going to be paying for that?
Well, I will, of course. I go quickly.
And look, you mole, the off-license, £13 already. Said he'd be taking out a writ against you.
James, you owe the off-license money.
Well, now, Henrietta, I only...
You told me you were a millionaire.
Oh, now, Henrietta, don't get upset. I only told you that for your own good. I mean, I didn't want you to think I was marrying you for your £500,000, you know.
£500,000? That's rich. I haven't got £500,000. I thought you had £500,000.
Eh?
Oh, come on. Look in the mirror. If I had money, do you think I'd marry somebody with a bald, red, ugly mug like yours? I should, Coco. Goodbye.
Bentley?
I know.
You know?
Yes. Not to be.
Now we went out to a party. It was me and Ben and Mac. And before I knew what happened, I get an itching on my back. Won't someone
scratch, scratch me back? Scratch, scratch me back. It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch.
Well, I was quite embarrassed, for my two friends I did see. While they were madly itching, and they were screaming louder than me. On someone
scratch, scratch me back. Scratch, scratch me back. It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch.
All together now.
Scratch, scratch me back.
A little higher.
Scratch, scratch me back.
A little lower.
It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch.
And the scratching was quite contagious, and it didn't take very long. Everybody there was itching as they joined me in the song. Oh, won't you
scratch, scratch me back. Scratch, scratch me back. It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch.
Now the host, he got excited. He picked up the phone in haste. He quickly dialed the number and said, man, come spray this place.
Please hurry, scratch, scratch me back.
Scratch,
scratch me back.
Mighty backbone.
Scratch, scratch me back.
Mighty shoulder.
It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch.
All together now.
Scratch, scratch me back. Scratch, scratch me back. It really is a fact. The less I itch, the more I scratch. Scratch, 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 scratch.
Hello, this is the Marriage Guidance Bureau here. Mr. Pirbright speaking. What is your problem? Oh, it's you. What? No, I've still got one more fellow to see. I know I said I'd be home early. I can't help it. Oh, for heaven's sake, will you stop your eternal nag, nag, nag? Why didn't I stay single? Well, I'm sorry about that interruption, sir.
Now, that's all right, I enjoy it.
Yes, sir. What did you say your name was?
What was she on about? Hey! I never said my name. Glam.
Glam.
Okay. Mr. Glam.
Yes.
I meant to get here earlier, but I've been brooding over the matter so much, I was suddenly taken drunk.
Yes, well, we're here to help, Mr. Glam.
Oh, yeah.
You've come to see us, I suppose, about a marital problem.
No, nothing to do with the army at all. No, no. I'm having trouble with the wife.
Oh.
Oh, to think she should do this to me. After all this time. We've been together 30 years, man and beast. And now, Mr. Pirbright, I would never have believed it possible. I would never have believed it possible.
Perhaps you'd better give me the story from the beginning.
No.
Now, was the marriage blessed with a child?
No, all we had was Ron. He's my son. He's a sort of a... Well, how shall I describe him? Look, you know how some people do fancy work?
Yes.
Well, he don't fancy work. And he's betrothed, like, engaged, I think they have it,
yes,
to a fiancée called F.
F? Oh, F presumably is a shortened form.
Well, whatever she looks like, she's a nice girl. And no nonsense. Well, anyway, I suppose you'd say the old tragic business had its start just over 2 weeks ago. Ron and F were in our front parlour, curled up all snugly on the sofa.
Isn't it cosy sitting here with just the firelight? There's no need to talk. It's so nice just being silent. You haven't uttered for nearly half an hour, beloved. Been having a doze?
No, eh?
What have you been doing?
Just trying to think of something to think about.
I'm afraid I've been thinking about your mother and father. She was so, well, abrupt with him at tea time. Just sat glaring at your father with her lips pressed tight together. What could he have done to make her behave like that?
He pawned her tea.
Pawned her tea?
Yeah.
I mean no disrespect to your father, Ron, but I think that woman's a saint to put up with him.
Well, never mind them, Eth. Put your head back on my shoulder.
Why?
I've just thought of something to think about.
Oh, yes. No, Ron, not yes. Now. Ron, I don't feel in the mood now.
Well, we...
Now, Ron, you'd better put the light back on and run a comb through your hair. Go on, over to the mirror, and I'll put on a mouth again.
Right-o, Eth. A man in love is a man in the fog. Eth?
Yes, beloved?
How long have I had a sheet of paper stuck to my forehead?
A sheet of the... Oh, no, Ron. It's stuck to the mirror. It's a letter.
Oh.
It's stuck on with a piece of chewing gum. Well, that's odd. What is it, Ron?
Just a minute. It's spearmint.
The chewing gum, Ron, the letter. Oh, let me see what it says.
What?
Oh, Ron, oh, she can't have. Ron, it's from your mother. She's... Oh, I can't say it. Mr. Glum! Mr. Glum, please!
Come in, Ed.
Come quickly, then!
What are you doing? What are you doing, you wicked boy? You wicked boy, you're not getting out! How dare you! Oh, you wicked boy! I've spoken to you before!
Now I get to the town!
Don't hit Ron, Mr. Glum!
Hey! What's that matter?
It's not Ron!
Not me.
It's
not Ron!
It's nothing to do with Ron!
Hey! Oh, well, then what did you scream at me to rush in here for? You scared the life out of me. I was just having an all-over wash in the kitchen. Oh, I hardly had time to get my leg out of the sink. Oh, you worried. I might have ricked something. I might have ricked something and never smiled again.
Mr. Glum,
I've smacked his face till it's red.
Oh, well, not anymore. Mr. Glum, if it wasn't vitally urgent, I'd never have... Oh, well, look at this note we found stuck to the mirror.
All right, let's have a look at it then. Hello? Hello, this letter's from Mrs. Glum. Wait a minute. Dear Mr. Glum. Oh. I have stood as much as flesh and blood can swallow. I have put both me belongings in that brown paper carrier bag what you give me for Xmas. And I have left you.
Sit down, Mr. Glum. Ron, help me. Just sit down, Mr. Glum. Ron, your father's pale.
Right, I'll go and get it.
Oh, no. Sit down. Come on. It's the shock. Oh. Just take it easy, Mr. Glum. Take it easy. Ron, you read the rest of the letter.
Right.
Read it aloud. I'm not a mental telegraphist.
It goes on. The last ember of the love that glowed between us died the day you pawned my teak.
Oh.
I see you now for what you are, a boozing, thieving, bullying layabout.
Oh.
She writes a nice letter, doesn't she?
Oh, she's left me. My wife's left me. Oh, if I can't believe it. This sort of thing doesn't happen to people like us. You only get it among the lower classes. Oh. How could she have done this terrible thing? Walking out with just a carrier bag. Here, do you think there's a man in it?
Oh, no, Dad, the string wouldn't
hold. I'm not talking about... Carry
about.
Sorry, Dad. No, there wouldn't be another man. I've just remembered what she looks like. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not having her back.
Oh, but Mr. Glum...
That's categorical. No, that's categorical. I'm not having her back. I wouldn't entertain it. As she's buttered her bread, so must she lie on it.
Dear, yes. We have so many of these cases on our marriage bureau files, Mr. Glum. Did the boy miss his mother?
Well, of course he did. In a thousand little ways. It was pitiful to see him in the bath trying to scrub his own back. Ruined the broom, it did.
And how did you manage in the running of the house?
Mr. Purbright, if I said to you that the next 2 weeks was a living hell, I wouldn't be overstating the case.
No.
Not only did I have all the responsibility of my Ronnie boy and the housework, but I also had to see to all the cooking. Oh, here we are then, Ron. Don't they smell nice, hey? Eat them up while they're still hot.
No, Dad, no, not again. Oh, no.
I just can't understand your foibles. Monday you like baked beans. Tuesday you like baked beans. Wednesday you like baked beans. Thursday you like baked beans. Friday you like baked beans. And now it's Saturday... And all of a sudden, you don't like baked beans. You're just a food fad, that's what you are.
Dad, I used to like baked
beans. Ron, you're being knowing.
No.
I'm trying to run this house as best I can, and I admit I am a bit behind everything, but I can't help it. And at least you might cheer up a bit. I mean, why do you spend all your time sitting in the coal hole?
It's cleaner in there.
Well, I'll get round to doing the dusting. Here, what happened to that big pile of dirt when I swept up in the middle of the room?
I kicked it about till it went.
I must say that's a great help. I must say that's a great help.
You don't have to.
I've got 1,000 things to do and... Here, I can't find the washing. All our shirts and vests, what did you do with them?
Only what you told me. You said go out and put them on the line. So I packed them on my bike, went down to the bridge...
Oh, not the railway line! Oh, lummy, they'll be halfway up the Doncaster by now. Oh, dear, now is it. Just a minute, Ed. I'll just push some of the dirty dishes aside so you can get in the door.
Squeeze through. Oh, the look of this place. And the... phew.
Now then. No use you standing there holding your nose, eh? I've got too many things to do to go rushing out the dustbin every other minute. So I've done the one sensible thing that women never think of.
Eh?
I brought the dustbin in here. Ron. Ronnie. What are you poking about in that dustbin for?
I'm hungry. Oh.
Living like this.
Why not, pray?
Well, if you've got a visit from the Borough Health Prevention Officer...
Let's get Mum back, Dad. I want her back, Dad. I'm hungry. I've been hungry for 2 weeks.
There. How can you let your only son plead like that?
I want my mum back. Please, Dad. Get her back for me. She's my mummy, and I want her back. Get my mummy back, Dad.
I can't, son.
Oh, all right, then.
Return.
Miss Madara.
Well, you know what I found out? There are organisations who specialise in bringing people like Mrs. Glum back.
What, all its contractors?
Mr. Glum, I want you to go right away to a place called the Marriage Guidance Bureau.
Well, that's the story, Mr. Purbright. That's what I come to your bureau for. Now then, what can you advise? I'll do anything rather than face that mess in the kitchen. It's like the municipal rubbish tip in there, it is.
Well, Mr. Glum, what I'm going to advise, I don't think you'll like. But we've got to get Mrs. Glum to change her mind.
Well, that shouldn't be too difficult. Don't they say that changing her mind is a woman's purgative?
In this case, I think it'll need some definite inducement. And the inducement I have in mind entails a definite sacrifice on your part.
All right, then. What do I have to do?
Oh, Dad, now that Mum's back, doesn't everything look nice and tidy again? The curtains are so clean, I went right past the house. And, Dad, what you did to win Mum back, it was lovely, Dad. Lovely.
Mr. Glum, I still don't know. How did you raise the money to get Mrs. Glum's teeth out of pawn?
I thought that would cause them. I have to make my bit of milk and get up easy about it.
Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton read the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...